Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Our First Advantage text line today is 888-530-0043 if you want to get in on the conversation. Eastside Chris says, Brady, how should Seahawks use Wilson for the remainder of the year? Use and abuse or sit him? That's a pretty good question. I mean, I don't really know what they would do at this stage. Because they're sitting at 4-8. I mean, they're the second worst team, tied for the second worst record in the NFC, so playoffs aren't going to happen for them. We did get the news yesterday, Zach Stevens tweeting it out, that the reports are indicating that Russell Wilson would be open to a trade. He would waive his no-trade policy or clause for the Saints, Giants, and the Broncos. And so does that mean it's pretty much over for him in Seattle? I'm looking at his time in Seattle since the Super Bowl. And since they went to the Super Bowl since they lost the Super Bowl back in 2014, it's been that long ago already, to the Patriots. They were 12-4 that year. 2015, they went 10-6. They won in the first round, lost in the second. Next year, 10-5-1. They had a tie. They won in the first round, lost in the playoffs. 2017, they were 9-7. Didn't go to the playoffs. 2018, 10-6, lost in the playoffs. 2019, 11-5, won in the first round, lost in the playoffs. 2020, 12-4, lost in the first round. Still a playoff team. Obviously, this year, not going to be the case. You had Russell Wilson miss a few games. If you're Seattle, is it time to say, hey, with Russell, we did what we could. We won a Super Bowl. We went to two of them. Maybe it's time to turn the page. I talked about it yesterday a bit. It's always fascinating to me because quarterbacks or coaches and teams, they spend their lives trying to find a quarterback. But then you get to a stage where maybe Russell, like a guy like Russell Wilson, is on his last few years left in the league, and you're not, you know, you're coming off of a bad season. You haven't really made that much noise in the playoffs since the Super Bowl in 2014, 8 years ago, that you're looking at it saying, okay, well, what do we do next? Do we rebuild the defense? Because their defense is atrocious. This is the former Legion of Boom, and they're 31st in the NFL when it comes to yards. They are 24th, 21st, something like that in scoring. Not great. 31st overall, 32nd against the pass, which they used to be very good. They're 22nd against the run. Their offense isn't very good. They're 31st in offensive yardage. Passing's 28, rushing's 24. So when you look at a team like this, you start to say, okay, there's a lot of work to be had here. We should start rebuilding. That means they're going to have to find a quarterback first, right? At some point, that's what you got to do.
Now, I think it's interesting. My roommate, Noah, he's a huge Seahawks fan, so I've been able to get his perspective on this the last couple weeks with the team just being as bad as they are. And he has optimism that, you know, Russ can turn it around and figure it out, but they just don't look like a proper team.
I mean, I don't know that I even agree. Like, optimism that Russ can turn it around. In 9 games, 67% completion, 2,000 yards, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 102 rating. Russell Wilson's not the problem with Seattle. Russell Wilson has been not a great player, but a good player for this team.
I think the trend with them that I've noticed is the offensive line has been consistently bad, and the defense has year by year slowly fallen
apart.
They're
the worst defense in the NFL. So if you're Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, are you looking at this going, all right, we trade Russell Wilson, probably get, is the market value 3 first-round picks? Is it 2? Is it 1 and a couple of players?
Maybe like a 1-2-3 kind of deal?
I don't like the idea of trading 3 first-round picks, but I'd easily trade a first-round pick this year. Easily. So what's the number one thing the Broncos need right now?
Quarterback.
Everything else is golden. I mean, seriously, I know the defense needs better interior linebackers. You can find those in the second round. You got Kenny Young there if he stays, who's intimated that he does want to stay there. So you get him, put him in the middle linebacker spot, get another guy, and who knows about Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson. Both of those guys were playing pretty well before the injury. So I'm looking at this team, and I don't see glaring holes other than the quarterback, the coaching staff. That's what I see. So if you're able to trade away a first rounder and a Bradley Chubb or whatever,
would
then
you
do it.
Like a first, second, and Teddy Bridgewater?
Easy. Well, Teddy, they'd have to sign a trade because he'll be a free agent.
Well, that way you give them a quarterback, whether or not they use him is up to them. But you get rid of Teddy. You can keep Drew for a cheap deal, have him sit behind Russ for 3-4 years, and then, hey, maybe Drew locks the guy in 4 years.
Probably not the guy.
That's wishful thinking. Broncos fans like to think a lot about positive stuff.
Lock, they have as they have him for another year, so they wouldn't have to worry about signing him or anything. I don't see them re-signing Teddy in any way, shape, or form. I actually think he's going to go to Houston. I actually think he's going to be like a bridge guy there.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I think. Broncos are done with their quarterbacks. They're done with Fangio. They're done with Shurmur, I believe. And I think they're going to turn the page, and they're going to go. I would go after Russell. Now, Rodgers is, I mean, who's better currently, Rodgers or Russell? Well, Rodgers. And his market value, even though he's only going to play like 3 or 4 more years for you, is closer to that 2 to 3 first-rounders and maybe a player or two.
No, I think that they're both top-tier quarterbacks. They're going to be the top two guys in free agency. And when you're so, you know, even with the two guys, I think you have to start looking at intangibles in terms of Rodgers' personality versus Russ's personality. We know Russ is a very leadership team guy. Rodgers, who knows what he brings.
Rodgers is a cowboy. I mean, he's a gunslinger. He's very smart. He's very intelligent. But is he a leader? Not necessarily, no, especially this year.
And that could possibly be part of the Green Bay's staff and his feelings towards them, and maybe that's different in Denver.
True,
but
could be.
It's an unknown with him.
But he does have a weird, I mean, again, I hate to bring personal stuff into it, but he does have a weird relationship with his family.
Yeah.
So when you do start to wonder, okay, maybe this guy is just kind of that way.
That'd be so weird to see the quarterback that beat you in the Super Bowl come back and lead your team just 8 years later. That's wild.
Well, I mean, Peyton Manning beat him out of the playoffs several years, and then he comes back. And I actually think Russell Wilson fits as a Bronco. I mean, so the prediction game, that's the poll question. That's the Power to Play Sports poll question. Is Russell Wilson going to be a Bronco next season?
Well, you're just looking at the other two teams. It was the Giants and the Saints. What are the Giants doing with Daniel Jones? What's going on with Taysom or Jameis or whoever's in New Orleans? Broncos just seem like the best fit.
The only thing I would say about the Saints as opposed to the Broncos is they got a coach.
Yeah, you got Sean Payton.
You got Sean Payton, and I like Sean Payton. I think Vic Fangio is very well respected as a defensive coach, but if I'm a quarterback and I'm looking at my golden years and I'm thinking that I can win a Super Bowl, because I think the Broncos could win a Super Bowl if they have the right quarterback, right coach, right offensive coordinator. If I'm going to win a Super Bowl, who's my coach? And I don't think Vic Fangio is here. George Payton is a smart general manager. I have liked everything he's done so far. But you can't tell me that he's looking at these performances and thinking, yeah, this is my guy. This is my guy that's going to handle this thing. So, prediction game? This is tough. Will Russell Wilson be a Bronco next season? 80% of the hooligans say no. I'm going to say yes. I don't think the draft, as far as quarterbacks go, is that strong. And I don't see the Broncos even in that mix. They're 6-6. I mean, let's just ballpark it. Prediction time's coming Friday, but are they beating Detroit? Let's just say probably. If they don't, then yeah, you're scary. But I think they're beating Detroit. You know, and so you're going to have 7 wins. There's enough wins in this schedule. I mean, the Lions, Bengals are still kind of interesting to me. Then you're at the Raiders, you're at the Chargers, you're home against the Chiefs. I see at least 2 wins. There's at least 2 wins there. It's going to be tough, but there's at least 2 wins. So you're maybe an 8-win team, unless something changes. Maybe an 8-win team. You're not drafting very high. So, yeah, interesting. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. They might, but if Russell Wilson's available, you can bide your time a little bit more.
Well, yeah, I mean, you said it. It's just the team is missing a quarterback. Everything else, you got young talent or veteran talent that's been there a while, and you're solid.
You like your offensive line. You love your wide receivers. You just showed them the money. You love your rookie running back, Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon, I would re-sign him. He says he wants to come back. I'd re-sign him if it works. Defensively, save for your interior linemen, or linebackers, excuse me. And yeah, linemen. You got a couple things to work on defensively, but and there's going to be contracts and all that to re-sign. Kareem Jackson is one of those guys. You're gonna have to make some decisions. But if they have Russell Wilson on the team right now, this is a 9-win team already. This is at least right now, despite Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. 16 minutes after the hour, Nuggets talk coming up next with our guy Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Do not miss it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back. Talking some more Denver Nuggets here on the show with our friend Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Somehow, some way, Chris, the Nuggets pull it off. They get it in overtime. And Nikola Jokic, just one of his best performances, certainly in a while, and he's had amazing performances. Had a rough go a few nights ago. It was nice to see that. 39 points, gets the triple double, and the Nuggets get back to 500.
Yeah, and he was aggressive at the start of the game, and then he made all the plays at winning time, and. You're right. This road trip has been interesting for Nikola because you've had some teams, defend him different ways. We've seen him, struggle in a couple of second halves. I mean, I think it's been described a couple times as well. He had an off shooting game, and really what it's been, especially when you're talking about the Orlando game, and then you are talking about second halves. That got away from him. He was just 2-11 in the second half in Orlando. He was just fine in the first half in Orlando. And so it's been an interesting road trip for him. So I think it was probably important to him that he, had a good second half. And honestly, he spent a big chunk of the second half not scoring until about the last 2-3 minutes of the fourth quarter when the game was on the line. Then he just all of a sudden just took over. And, scored 17 out of the last 24 points when you're talking about the overtime total as well. And it was just exactly what the Nuggets needed. Sometimes these are why all these teams want star players. And you want players that impact games and impact winning. And you can put, an outcome on their back and reasonably expect that it's going to come out in your favor. The Nuggets have that with Nikola Jokic. He's the reigning MVP, and he showed that yesterday.
Yeah, he's playing like it. You see it in games like that, and you go, wow, he is the best player in the league. Obviously, Steph Curry's doing crazy things with the Warriors, and they're number one in the West. So, I mean, those things kind of going into it. But this was a nice win for this Nuggets team, floating around that 500 mark. But, Chris, they're trying to change things up coming out of the half to get more energy going. Monte Morris talked about the layup line. They did the layup line. The Pelicans still come out with all the energy. The Nuggets, again, as we talked about, found a way to get the win, but I know they're trying desperately to figure that out. Come out of the half with a lot of energy.
Yeah, it's a good question. They are busily trying to figure it out in terms of what might help them get out to better starts in the third quarter. And I guess I am looking at it a little bit more as let's just stay away from the 5 minutes of a 12-2 run or something like that. Because, not in every single one of these third quarters have they gotten off to the bad start. Like in Chicago, you know, they were winning with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. It was 60-57 at that point. But then what happened was Chicago goes on a massive run, massive. And by the time you get to about 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, you're down 100-83. And that started the second half of the third quarter. And so I think for me, it's one part, okay, you want to get off to a good start in the third quarter. But if you have a lead at halftime, if you're playing a team even through the first half of the third quarter, that's cool. You know, that's cool. Just don't have these moments in time where the game starts to really get away from you and get away from you to a point where now it's hard for you or maybe impossible for you to get back into the game. And so it's a very complex issue for the Nuggets. Yeah, I mean, and you can see, I mean, I think Michael Malone talked about doing some sort of dance at halftime, all this kind of things. And so everybody's trying to get it sorted out. And Brady, it's interesting because they lived in this space for a little while in the past. They've lived in these dual spaces. One, they had this moment in time where they couldn't, their first quarters were bad. And they couldn't come out and with any energy, and finally they got that. But in the third quarters, they were always coming out with energy, and they were always making great adjustments. And there was in the third quarters were never a problem. The first quarters were okay. So then they got the first quarters figured out. Then the third quarters became a problem. Then they got the first and third quarters figured out. But now we're back in the space where the third quarters are the issue. So it's a kind of a constant state of being for the Nuggets, but. I think in addition to starting off these things well, they just need to continue to be consistent throughout the quarter as well.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, is it a real concern that they're going to wear the choker out? I know Malone has talked about that quite a bit as far as do we need to up his minutes? That's not good for his, you know, the long game with him. You know, we've heard earlier this season where he said at this rate he's going to be worn out by the All-Star break. Is there any real concern there that we're going to be wearing this guy out by the time we get to, hopefully, Jamal Murray back in this lineup?
You know, I don't think so. I'm still of the opinion that, I mean, these are still young men.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
He's playing 32. I'm looking at this right this right now. He's playing about 33, almost 33 minutes per game. All right. That's second on the team to Will Barton's playing almost 34 minutes per game. But I think the concern for Michael Malone is that they're heavy minutes. You know, not even so much that they're a ton of minutes, because he's really not playing a ton of minutes each game, but they're heavy minutes because of the load that he must assume to carry while, you know, the other two max contract guys are not playing. And I do understand that. And so every time that we are praising him for a situation like what he did last night, Michael Malone's kind of going, oh, man, you know, he's on one hand happy because they need the win, but on the other hand, he's like, boy, it's just another night of me having to lean in 100% to Nikola Jokic. And so I get it from that standpoint. But you know what? I also think I'm torn on this issue, Brady, because it'd be different if his minutes were around 36, 37 and they were this heavy, I'd be a little more concerned. But I think it's kind of the price of doing business when you're a star in this league. And what that means, when you're an elite player, when you're the MVP, what that means is it's the heavy load is on your shoulders pretty much every night. And, you know, unless you're playing on a super team and maybe you can have an off night or maybe you can take a step back tonight and let somebody else, you know, take the spotlight and really bear the brunt of the scoring and the load on the team that night. The majority of the elite players that are on these teams aren't living in that scenario. I mean, Luka Doncic is taking it, you know, the brunt of it every single night. Bradley Beal takes the brunt of it every single night. I mean, it's kind of the price of doing business. And, you know, for Nikola, the most productive help is not there with him. And that's really the concern is can you cobble together players each and every night that can take some of that load, that heavy pressure load off of them? And quite honestly, I think, you know, if you're looking at last night's game, the Nuggets treaded water, and Nikola scored a little bit in the third quarter, didn't really score it at all in the fourth quarter, and then when they needed him, he did all the scoring, and with 3 minutes to go, and then into overtime. And so I don't think that that's a bad thing. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing. He got his rest, he got back in, he didn't score, and then he bore the brunt of the burden when it was time to win the game. And so, you know, I'm not super concerned about that right now. But that is something that we all need to continue to look at and monitor, I would think, as the season goes on.
I think that's a great point, too, because he's your superstar. And how many times in the past when we were post-Mello did we say things like, well, the Nuggets are good and all, but who's taking that final shot? And now you got that guy taking the final shot, and there are some people mm-hmm. that are like, yeah, but he's taking too many final shots. So,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think you laid it out perfectly. That tends to be kind of where I'm leaning on this side. That being said, how is the roster doing? Because, you know, you hear Coach Malone talking about, hey, we can't be leaning on Joker all the time, and fans are saying it, and we're saying it, we're talking about it at least. How's the rest of the roster view that? Do they kind of know what's up? They're like, yeah, let's face it, Joker's the guy. Or do you think there's somebody on this team that's like saying, you know what, I'm going to take that as a personal attack, and I'm going to raise up my game, and I'm going to be a guy we can lean on?
Well, you know, I think they all want to help. You know, they all want to do more. They want to do as much as you possibly can. And, you know, it's just, you know, the reality of the situation is, you know, you look at, like, just taking a step back from the Nuggets and just going in general here. When you look at players across the league, any player, a player has a history. A player, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, especially these kinds of players, what they've done and what they're probably capable of doing. And could a player step up and play above what he has done over the course of his career for a big chunk of time, or maybe for a full season? Maybe, but those instances are so rare. And so with the Nuggets, what you're talking about are there's capable players on this roster. Will Barton is averaging 16.5 points per game. Aaron Gordon is averaging about 14 points per game, and his percentages and production has been way up lately. But over the course of their careers, you understand what they're really able to give over the course of an 82-game season. And so for the Nuggets, it's about, you know, because, you know, you don't have a Jamal Murray who, you know, is giving you 20 points every single night and probably way more than that, and big shots and all these kinds of stuff. He's not on the court. And so now who is the most next capable player to do that? Or in the case of the Nuggets, can you find a cut two or three guys and have them be really interchangeable? So Will Barton, you got this burden 55% of the time. Aaron Gordon, you know, 30% of the time. I'm just putting percentages out here, but it's because you know that there's probably not one player left on the roster that is going to get you to 20 points 100% of the time, or 80 to 90% of the time. And so that's where the Nuggets, it really is the biggest issue right there, because then you got to hope that you catch a game from one or two of these guys every single night. Okay, but what if Will Barton and Aaron Gordon are not having a great night? Where do you go then? You know, could Monte Morris be the guy on this particular night? Can Bones Highland, but he's a rookie. Can Facu Campazzo, but he's not a big-time scorer. He can pop in some good scoring games. And so the Nuggets are just in a real bind here and really do have to patchwork this together behind Nikola Jokic. And you hope that Will Barton is the next most consistent player, and Aaron Gordon is as well. But if those two guys aren't performing, or they're having an off night, or maybe even an off week, can you find somebody else? And that's what's been so hard for the Nuggets, and that's what's putting a real burden on their offense. And it will continue to be this way until they can get some players back, or until one of these players can get into a more consistent, high productive space.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating too, is because the plan was you had your big three. You kind of had your big four, because I think you do look at Aaron Gordon, who probably fits even better with this team when Jamal Murray, when Michael Porter Jr. I mean, those two have a chemistry, and PJ and Gordon. So the plan was to be able to have those other guys, you know, stars, maybe not MVP superstar level where Joker is, but stars that could help take some of the pressure off. And unfortunately, you've had to make do. You knew what you were getting into without Jamal Murray, but you know, the MPJ thing was certainly a big blow. So we'll see if this team continues to adjust. They got a back-to-back. They're at San Antonio tonight. They are they're underdogs in this one tonight, Chris.
Yeah.
It'd be great if they could find a way to finish this series off. They got two on Saturday as well against mm-hmm. the Spurs before you finally see this team back at home.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons, it's one of the things that the NBA carried over from the COVID scheduling. when the bubble, well, just out of the bubble, I should say, scheduling, which was this idea that you didn't want teams traveling. You wanted to reduce the travel miles and contact, quite honestly. And so you have these instances where you play against, you know, a certain team. You'll fly to a city and you'll just stay there for a couple of games. And that's where the Nuggets are with San Antonio. And, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting team that they have to play because, obviously, San Antonio's it's not a good record. But they're playing better basketball. They're 4 wins in their last 6 games. And one of those was at Golden State, very mysteriously. they are a very capable team of winning. They're a very capable team, a very formidable team. Obviously, Greg Popovich is a really good coach. Play a lot of small ball down there. And so, you know, the Nuggets had a pretty big rebound deficit against the New Orleans Pelicans, and that's obviously in large part due to Jonas Valanciunas being really, really good on the boards. That shouldn't be the case in San Antonio. In San Antonio, obviously, and also defensively, they kind of struggle a little bit. So, the opportunity to get at least one of these two is there if you are on your game and if you're feeling some energized tonight on the second of a back-to-back. Maybe you can get 2 out of 2. I mean, it's not a great basketball team, but certainly one that's not going to beat itself. You have to go in there and really be on top of your game to be able to beat them.
Yeah, well, we'll see if this this team can finish this road trip off. Chris, what time does coverage get started for you guys tonight?
6 o'clock tonight with the pregame show. Me, Vic, and Hans will be on set for that. Obviously, Katie, Chris Marlowe, and Scott Hastings on site in San Antonio. I'm sure they're looking forward to getting back home here pretty soon. It's been a long haul for everybody on that road trip. But 6 p.m. on Altitude Sports and game at 6:30 tonight.
Yeah, because they started that on November 29th. It seems like a long time ago leading up to that month. Yeah, man. I mean, and there was so much build-up to that Miami game, too, that it does seem like it was longer as well. But, yeah, it would be nice to see the Nuggets back home in front of their fans. Chris, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. We'll see you.
See you. Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. 37 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We got the Thursday night special coming up. Pittsburgh, Minnesota, who you got? We'll talk about it first. Next, first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
I expect you boys to go out there and not take this team lightly because I promise you, they're going to come at you with everything they've got.
From the soles of your feet, with every ounce of blood you've got in your body, lay it on the line until the final whistle blows.
Thursday night special time. Pittsburgh Steelers, Minnesota Vikings. Ooh, this one's tough. I'm ready for it, though. I'm one of those rare guys that loves Thursday night football. You know, some people like it. We complained about it a lot. We complained about it a lot a few years ago, but I always liked it because it meant football was on Thursday night. So I'm into it. That's why we created the Thursday night special. I won't lie to you, though. It's been a rough go for me this year. It's time to start getting some W's. I'm running out of time. So tonight, we look at this matchup. The Steelers. The Vikings. I mean, all right, the Vikings. I heard Brian on Brian Gary on the Good Afternoon Guy yesterday saying, Dave, you're welcome, Denver. Vikings helped you. Got the win out of the way for Detroit. Takes the pressure off. Yeah, it's true. The Vikings, though, are they reeling after that? Or are they like, dude, we got to get the bad taste out of our mouth? They're at home. The Vikings have been on the edge all season. All but one game decided by one score. So it's not like they're a terrible football team. They just don't know how to close things out. The NFC wild card race, it's pretty tight. And with the one extra team getting in, the Vikings are very much a reality right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Broncos need them to lose at this stage. Steelers are on the outside of the playoff picture in the AFC as well. Then they've got a tough schedule down the stretch. They did find a way to beat Baltimore on Sunday. Baltimore, you're catching them at the right time. They're in a little downtrend going on. So, this is a big one. You know, Ben Roethlisberger news coming up that rumors are saying this is likely going to be his last year. So, you know, this is the last hurrah for Pittsburgh. Can they get it right? I think Pittsburgh's actually getting better. I think Minnesota's not a bad team. I think this actually could be a really fun game tonight. The Vikings are favored by 3 points in this one. I've gone back. This one I've had a tough time with. I went one way this morning. I've completely shifted in prep. So I'm going to go with Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers to win.
Hold on to your butts.
Throws it off his back foot. He's intercepted in the end zone. He throws another pick. It's Micah Fitzpatrick. And this will help that number. Najee Harris.
Oh, love Harris. Najee Harris.
Pressure. Didn't see it. Watt got there. T.J. Watt.
Oh, there it is. Is that Big Ben? Is that the Big Ben? The Big Ben?
Deontay Johnson.
All right, there we go. I like it. Steelers are going to beat the Vikings coming up tonight. Okay, Susan and Cheryl like that pick. They're good with that pick. You like it?
I am caught in between here. My grandfather's a huge Steelers fan, but I'm also a Dolphins fan. I need the Steelers out of the way. So I'm going to go with Brian on this one. We're going to go with the Vikings tonight.
Well, you know what? This is the Thursday night special on the whole show, Angel. So when you get the Angel show, you get a Thursday night special pick. I'll go against you head-to-head right here.
We'll do it.
Steelers-Vikings tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a blast. 46 minutes after the hour. I'm going to take a short break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. Get to what's on TV. Some good stuff on the tube tonight. I know you're pumped about some of these games. So we'll talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Fifty-one minutes after the hour, welcome back. It's the Hull Show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Some big ones tonight, Angel. We're going against each other apparently on Thursday night. But you got a big one for the Nuggets tonight too. The Nuggets need to start putting something together here. 12-12. I know it's not panic time. It's a really long season. You can float around 500, but you kind of want to start seeing the Nuggets separate a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. You know this. We've mentioned it with Chris. This road trip that they've been on, it's been like what, 2-3 weeks now that they've been on the road
since the 29th,
East Coast, all the way up the East Coast to Chicago. Now you're down to Louisiana, Texas, and then finally getting back to Denver. So I'm sure this team's looking forward to getting back home and playing in front of the home crowd. But let's finish out this road game, a road trip, two tough games against the Spurs. Greg Popovich played him once this season already, got the win. So go get another one.
Spurs are sitting at 8-15, yet they're favorites tonight. But, you know, back-to-back, when you're relying on one guy to do all the scoring, you can see why the spread is kind of in the favor of the Spurs tonight. So that'll be interesting. I think the Nuggets can get this thing on a back-to-back. We'll see. But I think Joker's probably going to go off tonight again. Barton has been sick. He played last night, but he's still listed as questionable for tonight. Going on the back-to-back is a difficult task. And obviously a lot of college basketball in the tube. And then you got this football game tonight between the Steelers and the Vikings. I think it's a good game. It's an elimination game.
It sounds like a good, physical, tough game. Obviously, you got Najee Harris running the ball. Dude's tough.
He's so good.
Hurdle you like none other. Like,
how about that? How about the rookie running backs this year? Like those, especially
how about the
those two.
In general?
There's rookies. I mean, the Broncos got two of the best rookies in the NFL right now.
No, this rookie class is pretty good. You got three guys on the Dolphins that are lighting it up. Broncos, obviously. These young receivers. Not so much about the young quarterback. They're not getting as much hate as Tua got last year for some reason, but a lot of young talent in the NFL.
Yeah. It's exciting because you got a lot of guys that we're all going to be paying attention to for the next few years. So that's going to be exciting, and especially for the Broncos. So, yeah, tonight will be interesting. A fun show today, man. We had a good one talking to, well, we got Kevin Lytle on. Bodie Hume dropped by to hang out with us for a little bit. They're going to, are you picking the Bears to beat Arizona next week, Angel? That's the true test of your fandom.
Yeah, shock the world. 9-0, what? No.
Well, they're not quite there.
They might lose a game before then.
So yeah, they might. So they're looking good. The Bears are looking good. We're going to talk about, I really want to get into, I didn't get a chance to talk about it as much today, but CSU's new offensive coordinator, Matt Mummy, history, NFL history, man. I mean, he's his family, well-known in the world of football, air raid offense. I mean, who better to teach that? He's tweeting about it. He's got the cigar. He's got the fedora. He's dressed like Peaky Blinders style, man, and he's tweeting it out. He's like, we're bringing air raid offense to CSU. I love it. I saw McCarthy for the Cowboys said we're going to win against the Washington football team. I like coaches with a little pizzazz, a little attitude. Like I said, I don't need there's a difference between attitude and being a jerk, by the way. I like seeing that. You know, get a little excited. Bring a little energy.
Not Rams on Rams energy? No.
None of the cliche stuff.
Okay.
Tell me something about yourself. You know, I believe in being a tough guy. Whatever. I want something that's going to tell me about yourself. And, I mean, you got Matt Mummy saying, hey, get ready. We're bringing the air raid offense. We're throwing the ball down the field. I hope you're ready for it, Rams fans. That's going to do it for us. Thursday Night Football, enjoy it here on 1310 KFKA, 103.1 KFKA. Tonight should be a lot of fun. We've got Betting Across America. Let's see who they're taking, Mr. Pritchard and company. And then the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. And then shortly following that will be Thursday Night Football. Good night, Northern Colorado.